Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome, everybody. It is not Steve. Obviously, it's Becky Brown, and I am so glad you have joined us on this Monday. And by us, I mean Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, Alice.
Hey,
how are you?
Hi, Becky. Hey, everybody. Becky, I'm doing great this morning.
Well, great. It's a great day to do great. I mean, it's Monday, and it's the day after the first day of spring. I am excited because, you know, one of the things that Terry says in the opening is we offer hope and help in life's hardest places. And Saturday, we were able to do that with our Lose It for Life extensive. It was a great workshop for people who are dealing with those weight issues. And what I'm really looking forward to, which seems kind of odd, is our upcoming Transforming Grief workshop. And, you know, we have so many people that call us who are in the throes of grief, whether it's fresh, you know, something has just happened, or it is something that has lingered longer than expected. And one of those things that, you know, the way we describe that is unresolved grief. And, you know, Alice, what, you know, I'm sure that you have helped people through the grieving process. What would you like to you know, what are your insights on unresolved grief? I have a few, of course, but I just would love to hear what you have to say about it.
Well, I'll tell you something I hate about unresolved grief, which is the rule many of us live by. We don't talk about that. I just watched a new movie recently with my kids, Encanto, and had some concerns about it. But one of the very popular songs that comes from the movie is We Don't Talk About It. We don't talk about that missing family member. We don't talk about the thing that we lost. And there's good, understandable motivation behind it. We think we feel better if we avoid talking about the pain that everybody's living with. But it actually exacerbates it, drives it even deeper, and then it leaks out on one another in very unhealthy ways. It also increases our depression and our anxiety. And in our weekend, we teach you how to talk about it in the right way with the right people, because there are guardrails that make the grieving process safer and more effective. And we want to help you through that.
Absolutely. You know, unresolved grief usually lasts longer than what's expected. It interferes with your daily routine or your daily life. It could have the history, you know, the person that you've lost or the experience that you had that was a loss. It doesn't necessarily have to be a person. Sometimes the end of a job, the end of a marriage, the loss of a pet can really throw us into a grief process. And we can kind of get stuck there, so that every day that we're living is just one more reminder, and it's managing that sadness. And it wants, you know, that unresolved grief kind of causes us to isolate. It could show up as anger. You know, all of those kind of things can really mess up the process of just living a life that's full and free. Now, here's the other thing, and Alice, I think you just touched on it. It's not only that we don't talk about those things that we've lost, whether it's people or things, like I said, but it's also the fact that we have no place to deal with those feelings. We don't know what to do with them. And Alice, do you have any insights on what do you do with those feelings that just are buried deep within us?
Well, when we've been living in a family system of not knowing how to deal well with grief, it may be that the people closest to us aren't trained, don't know how to manage our sadness in a way that's helpful and healing. And so a good start to entering into grief purposefully is doing so with a clinician, with a counselor, in a group setting of people that are all there with the same purpose. And that makes it safer.
Yeah, I love that idea. And I think that there's hope in the grief. We can actually have good days ahead while still honoring the person that we lost, and also understanding the loss of the thing, or, you know, the relationship, whatever that is. When we transform grief, it, because everyone will experience grief, it will add to our life. It will give us that depth as opposed to keeping us stuck and not finding that full life. Listen, we're going to be taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. Give us a call and we'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm glad you joined us, and I'm also glad that Dr. Jill Hubbard joined us.
Yes, I was telling Alice, I feel grief over not being here right at the beginning, and I'm actually going through a little bit of grief myself. I've had a couple people that have been a part of my world pass away that I found out about this weekend, so in this last week. So that grief workshop is a good thing.
It really is, and you know, all of us will experience loss of some sort, and I think that it's interesting because, like Alice was saying, that we don't talk about it, yet this is something that we will all experience. But I hope we're going to talk to a bunch of callers today, and so I want people to call us at 1-800-229-3000. I also want to say hello to our YouTube family. You know, that's where I love to watch when I'm not on the program, and you can stay connected to us if you will like and share and subscribe to YouTube. It makes a difference in everyone's life. I mean, you know, you're going to get the word out about New Life, and who doesn't want that to happen? We're always just grateful to have you along, and we want to help as many people as we can. And but I think I'm going to have help with the callers today, either by Alice or Carmen. Somebody want to select a call, and let's go for it.
Let's talk with Sandra on line one.
Great. Hi, Sandra. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I've had this problem for quite a while. I mean, it's been... can you hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Yes,
oh,
we
okay.
can.
Yeah, me and my daughter both is, you know, my daughter's, you know, I'm 59 years old. I'm married 3 years. And my son, right before I got married, I guess he quit calling and talking, and he don't want nothing to do with me and his sister. And during that time, he lost his dad, and my daughter tried to get him to come up to visit and so forth, and he wouldn't come up.
Right around the time you got married, you're telling me, Sandra, that your kid's father passed away.
Yeah, he was in a nursing home. My daughter was taking care of him back and forth. And my daughter, his sister, tried to get him to come up and to, you know, go to the nursing home and see him. And during this time, he lost jobs, several jobs. And, you know, so I don't know. I think he was into some drugs and so forth. And during that time, he had a new baby boy he'd always wanted. But we went down a year ago for my granddaughter's 16th birthday party, and just to show up and see if, you know, we could tell him, and we did. We said, we're sorry, please forgive us, what have we done? And he says, well, y'all left me when Dad died. And my daughter's like, well, that's my dad too, you know, nobody was there for me. So that's what he says why he's angry, and he hasn't spoken since. And I mean, we text a little bit on Facebook, but you know, so he just don't want in our lives, and I just like to know, you know, what can I do and bring him back to the faith, you know. I mean, you know, I brought him up in church and my daughter's a Christian, you know, and
okay.
And it's
well,
really
Sandra,
a burden to me.
It's really sad when these kind of things happen. Alice or Jill, where would you like to start and help Sandra with this?
Well, you know, Sandra, we all grieve differently, and it sounds like your son, and perhaps this being his dad, has hit him in a way in terms of his own life. And I'm hearing that, while I love that you asked him, because that's often what we recommend, you know, what can we do, what have we done, but it may be that he is really struggling with this grief and was kind of looking for someone to blame, and blaming you all in not being there for him. And when people say, you weren't there for me. It is their own subjective experience. You could have been there for him. And like you're saying, your daughter also said that, well, she was alone in it as well. And that's a sad thing, that everybody feels alone in their pain. And they find it hard to reach out and connect when they're the most vulnerable. But just remember that that is his subjective experience. And so we can offer compassion for that, even if we feel like we tried to do it differently. So to let him know how sorry you are that he felt so alone in all of this, and that you actually are wanting to remedy that by having him not be alone currently.
That's great. Alice? Sandra?
Right. But prior to that, he hadn't spoken to his dad in about 10 years.
Well, that would make sense then why it was even harder for him when his dad died, right? He's very avoidant and avoids things that are difficult, right? So now he's avoiding dealing with you all in the death of his dad.
And Sandra, there are obvious things your son has done that have put a rift between him and his family. His substance use, he's apparently walked away from the faith. And so he is probably lashing out and accusing you all of things that may be mainly his responsibility to look at how his actions have exacerbated that wedge between you all and him. You also want to try to put yourself into his shoes to look for any area of empathy or any area of truth. So it may be, for instance, that when you married your current husband, it felt like an abandonment of both your son, perhaps your son's father. He felt like you were choosing this new man versus choosing the family of origin, that his family of origin. Now, even though that's it's a muddled view of things, if you try to put yourself in his place, where can you generate empathy that it has felt like you didn't choose him when he wanted to be chosen by you?
Well, prior to that, he had quit talking. I mean, I tried to call and, you know, and he did mention something about the new husband.
Well, and it sounds to me, Sandra, like there are some communication challenges. You had mentioned that you guys are just kind of staying in touch through Facebook Messenger or whatever. So, Alice and Joe, what would be some practical steps for Sandra to kind of rebuild this relationship? We know what the history is, but how do we make it better in the future?
So, Sandra, I'll point out something that just happened between the two of us. When I asked you for a statement of empathy of how you can understand your son, you started with, well, he didn't call me. He stopped calling me, which is true. And that's a defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, but it's also a defense, which separates your son even more from you if he hears that kind of defensiveness from you. But it's true. It's just not helpful in rebuilding the bridge right now with him. So you would want to lead with something like the second thing you said. I believe that when I got remarried, that was hurtful to you. And you felt like I was moving away from you when I got remarried. It's those kind of statements attempting to understand your son's perspective that make him feel seen and understood, even if it's a little bit off, even if it's not quite accurate. It's trying to get into his world and his experience of you. It's hard to do.
It is hard to do. So you try to not point out what he has done, but focus on what you can in terms of what you have done that may have impacted him, and acknowledge that.
So you might now reach out to him in writing to say, I've been thinking about how my current marriage might have affected you, and I think it's been hurtful. I think you have felt left out of my life. Would you tell me about that? Make an opening attempt in that way, a non-defensive way.
Well, go ahead, and
remember, though, Sandra, as long as he is on drugs, you probably are going to get some distortions and some wanting to throw it back on you. But don't give up. What Alice is telling you is really important. So just keep at it lovingly and periodically, inviting him into relationship.
I was just going to say, you know, Sandra, it's really hard. And I think it also could be helpful to start any kind of communication with him with your intention. I want us to be connected. I want to do the best that we can to have a connected relationship, keeping in mind all of these things that Jill and Alice have said. What book should we send Sandra?
about How to Love Our Kids?
Okay. Or How to Love Our Kids.
Yes, that would be a good one. But Understanding and Loving a Person with Substance Abuse?
Could be. Well, we have so many things that can help so many people. It's hard to pick.
But. Yes, it is. Okay. Well, you choose then, Becky.
Oh, great. Okay. I'm thinking I'll go with the understanding loving person with alcohol and drug abuse, just because there's some more relational things in there that might fit him. And then, you know, if we can help you find a counselor to work through that, Sandra, that would be great as well. All right. Well, Alice, are you picking the next caller?
Let's speak with Jackie on line 2 from Baltimore. I'm listening on WAVA.
Awesome. Hi, Jackie. How can we help you?
Hi, I made it.
Yay! We're so glad you did.
Okay, great. Okay, so I'll get right to my question. I'm 56 years old, and I have OCD, and it involves doing a lot of checking at night. Before I go to bed. And then I'll go to bed and I'll be like, oh, I didn't do this. I have to get up and check it again. And I've had this problem probably for 15 years and I just don't know how to get help for myself. I have seen a counselor for like 3 years and she told me that I was doing this because I was trying to soothe myself, but and so she's like, just don't worry about it. Just, you know, accept it. But
how helpful
sorry,
was that?
Sorry for laughing.
How helpful was that, Jackie?
Okay. But I just need, I don't know if it's related to grief, because I want to start seeing another counselor, and I just don't know how to choose one, because I don't know what's behind this.
Well, we can help you with that. Jill, go ahead.
That's what you go to therapy for, is to learn about what's behind it. And we can help you find another therapist, Jackie. And I think with OCD, there's several things. One, you said it started 15 years ago. So I wonder what happened 15 years ago. And
Let me tell you this. Okay. I'm just going to tell you that I remember having a very mild form of OCD when I was a child. Mm-hmm. And then it just went away.
Right.
And I didn't have it for years and years and years, and then it comes back.
So that's really, really common, and it's also hereditary. So OCD is one of those things that gets passed on. Yes?
Can you explain what OCD is so that everybody knows?
Obsessive compulsive disorder. So it's repetitive behaviors that create kind of a false sense of security. So there's a lot of anxiety that goes along with it. People obsess on things, so you can have all different kinds of OCD behaviors. So there's the obsessive part where you ruminate in your mind until you act out the compulsion to do whatever the behavior is. Some people have hand washing. Lots of people have checking. And you know, one of the things, and I think maybe I didn't mean to laugh at your previous therapist because I don't know the context for what she was saying, but one of the things is exposure with response prevention, which means you have to be exposed to the anxiety and then refrain from the compulsion to see that nothing bad happens. Because every time you check, you're reinforcing that, it was my checking that saved me.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
That's how I feel.
Yes. And so it becomes very ritualistic where you have to do these things in order to be okay. When we're young, it's kind of like that thing, you know, don't step on a crack, you'll break your mother's back. So it becomes superstitious. But then as we get older, it becomes a little more sophisticated and more normalized because, well, of course you want to make sure all your doors are locked at night, right? You want to make sure you didn't leave the stove on or things like that. And even when you get to middle age, or if you're highly anxious, you get forgetful about things. So it does get normalized.
And Jackie, over the break, I'd ask you to identify something significant that you went through in your life that was out of your control.
Yes.
And when we come back, we want to find out what that is and help you with
that. That's great. That's great. And we're still taking calls, so you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We will help Jackie when we get back. And maybe you've got some stuff that you need some wisdom. And we've got two wise women that are in the studio today that can answer your call. So give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And we'll have all kinds of insight for Jackie that may even help you as well. I'm so glad you're listening today.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are in the middle of a question from Jackie, who's dealing with obsessive-compulsive disorder. Alice, you had asked Jackie a question before the break, so let's follow up with Jackie and see what she has to say.
Okay. So I have had numerous events in my life that have been out of my control. So I would say the biggest one was my first marriage. I was married for 10 years, and my husband decided he didn't want to be married anymore. So there's loss of control. There was nothing that I could do. And also my dad stopped talking to me 5 years before he died, and I had no, like, control over that. Like, I really wanted to reestablish a relationship, and he didn't want to do that. So,
those are big things.
Jackie,
yeah,
it's...
and my mom, also, when my mom passed away, I was in England, and I didn't find out about it until she had already died, and the funeral had already taken place. So yeah, there's a lot of things in my past had control.
Mm-hmm. Jackie, our mouths are just hanging open that these are just
God.
A couple of the things that you have been through because they are so traumatic and so impactful. And I imagine if we went through your childhood, we'd also find significant events that deeply impacted you. And I'm going to agree with your therapist on some level that checking certainly is a way to soothe your anxiety, to soothe your grief, and to cover it up. But I disagree to just not worry that that's the way you soothe, because there are better God-given ways of soothing that bring a deeper peace and serenity to the soul. So I want you to consider a form of therapy, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, EMDR, because it's a way to get to both trauma, to resolve trauma, and the significant emotions that are hardwired into the brain with the trauma that we have been through. And that's not easily changed, but EMDR is a form of therapy that helps us get to that. And your brain chemistry has also probably been off balance. As Jill pointed out, genetically, you probably inherited some of this, but it's also been exacerbated by the life events you've been through. So if you're not on an antidepressant to treat anxiety, you'd want to consider speaking with a psychiatrist and either evaluating your current medication to change it or to get on something that would be helpful.
And there are medications that doctors use specifically for OCD.
Right.
That are in those categories.
Okay. And Jackie, we can also connect you with a therapist in your area that does do EMDR or any kind of trauma work. And so just stay on the line, and then we will get you connected that way. Okay, what kind of book do you guys want to send her?
Take Your Life Back?
There you go. All right. We'll send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, Jackie. We're so glad you called. And Alice, you want to pick our next caller?
Let's talk with Anne, line 3 in Philly, listening on... Ooh, I can't actually read it.
WBYN.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right, Anne. And we're so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Oh, thank you so much. I've been listening to you guys for years, but I never had the courage to call.
Way to go. Good job today. That's awesome.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know, I'm glad two ladies, too. I feel a lot better about that. I love the guys, but I like to talk women to women. I really do.
Awesome.
Anyway, I was just wondering. I was watching YouTube the other day, and this diagnosis came up. HSP, highly sensitive person. And usually I just get rid of those things because they seem so... I don't know, self-gratifying and self-centered and whatever. And it's I've never heard of it before. Have you ever heard of it before, HSP?
And I think you're talking to one. I think I am my son
good.
Are both highly sensitive people.
Yes. Well, I thought, okay, highly sensitive person. But then, actually, I kind of pushed it aside until there was a Dr. Gary Linker, and he's a clinical psychologist, and he's a family therapist. And he was talking about a particular woman named Elaine Aaron, I think, that did a lot of work with it. But it looked kind of new agey, so I just kind of pushed it aside until I took the test. And they had about 21 different symptoms, and I had pretty much every single one but one. Mm-hmm. And I've learned to overcome a lot of it. Became a Christian 40 years ago, or maybe longer. I haven't figured it out. But it really changed me into keeping me from being an introvert and a loner to being kind of a extrovert. But at the same time, I become very offended, and I retreat, and I have this vicious cycle of guilt and trying to do better the next time. Well, first I want to ask you, have you ever heard of it? It's from secular psychology, but I've never heard it addressed before in this manner.
I think it's a newer category, Anne, and it's not one that you can claim on insurance, right? It's not in our diagnostic manual.
Oh, I don't even care about that.
Yeah. It's a way that, you know, people have theorized and developed a way of understanding kind of a cluster of symptoms and experiences. And so if it speaks to you and helps you to look at yourself, well, then it's useful for you.
Yeah, and a lot of times we hear this referred to with children, too, because mm-hmm. there are elements of that, like you mentioned, Alice. We're going to take a break, Anne, and we'll come back and maybe give you some insight on, you know, some next steps. But it's great to have awareness about what we're experiencing or how we're experiencing life. But sometimes we need to know, okay, so then what do I do with what I know? And hopefully when we get back, you'll get some insight and can move forward a little bit. 1-800-229-3000.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're talking to Anne, who has discovered she is a highly sensitive person, and I'd love to hear from Alice and Jill. What kind of help can we offer Anne in this new discovery?
Well, Anne, I can understand your initial concern you expressed that labels can be used as excuses and even as sort of a crutch or a way for us not to look at both the weaknesses of the way we approach the world, but also the strength in it. Mm-hmm. So I used to think of myself as overly sensitive, and I take everything too personally. I get hurt so easily. What's the matter with me? Why can't I just take things more like a joke? But if I only look at that side of it, it can restrict me from being more honest and upfront with people about, that hurt me when you said it that way. I felt hurt by that. Could you explain what you were thinking? And I need to admit that now I'm holding on to a little bit of resentment because that hurt me. So I've learned that I have to both be more aware, but also express how I'm feeling with the people that are going to be safe with me making those confessions. But I also have a great strength in how sensitive I am, mm-hmm. because I'm pretty aware of what other people are feeling and going through, and I can take it to an extreme, and I can be wrong about it too. But if I act out, finding out if I'm correct in what I think I'm sensing with the people around me, I can help draw them out too. So it's a gift God gives us that can be used for good, or it can just make us hurt and back into our own corner and not want to interact with people.
Right.
Can I say something to what you're saying? I really totally agree with this, because that's exactly what happens. It's a great gift with knowing people. I can walk in situations and walk into in all settings and know what's going on. And it's really a very, and I've also have developed it more, because that way you can help people more. Mm-hmm. But there's only one area that it troubles me, and that's, and I think if I just maybe a little bit of information from anyone, then I would know how to get out of this dilemma. And that's when I go into group settings, mm-hmm. Where I can feel, one of the things in the diagnosis, and I don't know if it's correct, but you can kind of know where everybody's at, and you can feel where they're at, and I feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And then if I'm in a setting like maybe a group of 12 people where it's structured and we're having a meeting and they call upon me, I can't even answer because I'm feeling so much, and it's just I can't get my words out. And what when I do, then I say something that sometimes it's inappropriate. I mean, not evil or not embarrassing in the way of something, a curse word or something like that, like people have an excessive compulsive thing. But I'll just say something that's not, I can't even think. So if I go into a meeting and I know what ahead of time, what I'm supposed to address, I can come across like I have a brain in my head.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you're awful. Telling us, though, Anne, you get anxious and overwhelmed because it's almost like sensitivity overload.
I can't even think.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
So that happens with other people too. Anyone who is anxious, it cuts off thinking. And so, you know, we're talking about some of the strengths, and I agree with Alice, there are strengths to this, and then there's the downside to this, and that is exactly what you're describing. And sometimes it's hard when you are so aware and attuned to others, it's hard to know where you stop and others begin. And so it's really important.
Exactly.
Right? And so it's kind of like you go out into the world as a turtle without its shell. And so you're vulnerable. And so we have to kind of build up our internal boundaries that says, okay, this isn't about me. This is about them, and I can be attuned to them. But I don't have to solve everyone's problems. I don't have to be that person that's attending to every person in the room. And so to allow them to say, okay, well, that's their issue. I'm going to leave that with them.
I love that. Well, you know, what I'd like to do is send Anne a copy of Take Your Life Back, because that's kind of what, you know, the direction we're talking about here. And Anne, we're just so glad you called today.
Alice had one more thing to say.
Okay, go ahead.
Three things to say.
Forgive
me. Way to assert yourself, Alice.
All of us highly sensitive people, we have three challenges to take on. We have to make proactive admissions when and where we can, so that we go to somebody safe in the group to admit, I feel overwhelmed when I come into these meetings. But we're selective about who we do that with. We have to work on our emotional baggage that we're carrying, because that can offset our radar when we think we know what we're feeling, but it might be historical and we're bringing it into the present. And so that last one is checking our assumptions. We're sensitive. We're often right about what we're feeling, but we're not always right.
That's great. Great. All right. I love it. Okay. So we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, Anne, and I think you brought up a really great subject. I would like to bring up another subject, and that's President Larry Sonnenberg. Doesn't that sound official?
Oh, my goodness.
Hi, Larry. How are you today?
I'm doing well. After that discussion, though, I think I probably owe Alice about 1,000 apologies, because I never knew she was sensitive.
1,001, Larry.
But who's counting? Well, thank you, Becky. Every Man's Battle is coming up in Columbus, Ohio. It's not a city that we go to all that often. So I want to really encourage people, especially if you're in driving distance, And there's not much of the country that isn't in driving distance from Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. You know that, Becky.
Ohio's a great state.
Yeah. Smack dab in the middle.
Right.
It's the heart of it all. That's right.
But every man's battle. I want to read a testimony. And this is from a gentleman who was here a couple months ago. Wow, God meant for me to be here. I'm sure of that as we wrap up. My wife asked me to come to this weekend. As I prepared to leave home a few days ago and as I traveled here, I began feeling a heavy sense of dread, shame, and resistance to what I was wading into. I'm now walking away feeling freedom that I've longed and grieved for. My shame had kept me believing I didn't deserve freedom, joy, and hope. I walk away knowing I still don't deserve those promises, but it's not a shameful knowledge, it's a humble sinner's knowledge. I don't deserve it, but He bought it for me. I'm walking away encouraged and emboldened to face my daily battle because I've taken hold of His promise for me and to me. Also because of the brothers I've gotten to know this week, I'm excited to continue fighting with them. Look into what I'm running to and not what I'm running from. Yeah. Every time I read one of these, I think it doesn't get any better than that. Mm. I mean, this guy found community, which is absolutely critical to making this weekend what it's supposed to be. And he found hope. He found healing. He found the relief from the shame, the dread, all those feelings. So, guys, please sign up. And, ladies, if you know your husband needs it, give us a call and we can help get him signed up with you.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you know you need help and all you have to do is make that call, but it can be the hardest call to make. But it can change everything about you, your family, and your future, and we hope that you'll join us in that. Thanks, Larry, and thanks for everybody who is part of our giving family, our Club New Life family, as well as those who, you know, just make a donation from now and again. But if you join Club New Life right now, we have a personal size Life Recovery Bible, the 1-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, a New Life Journal, a New Life Pen, that's also a highlighter, and a great bag to put it in with a zipper on top. It's awesome. But, you know, it's...
What a unique feature, Becky.
I know, right? Well, listen, I love that bag. But you know what I tell Larry all the time. I said, you know what I'm always amazed when I talk to our Club New Life family? They always say it's not about what they get. It's literally they want to give back and because of what New Life has meant to them. And I just want to encourage you, if you have not given yet, maybe today's the day that you give us a call and begin to be part of the Club New Life family. It really makes a difference. And if you give in March, we'll send you a copy of Dr. Daniel Amen's book, Conquer Worry and Anxiety, which is what we've been talking about today. So I'm so glad for all those that give. But let's go back to the calls. Do we have a call ready, Alice? You want to pick one?
Let's talk with Elizabeth in Dallas, Texas, listening on KWRD.
Great. Elizabeth, I'm glad you called. How can we help you?
So, basically, I kind of am struggling with a lot of different things. I was in a decade-long abusive marriage, and I left it about 3 years ago. Divorce was finalized a year ago, and I'm dealing with kind of the after effects of that, as well as grieving kind of the life I thought I would have. You know, I always dreamed I would have and didn't work out exactly as planned. Also, just struggling with a lot of depression and loneliness. A lot of, like, hiding from the hurt that I have. I remember hearing you guys talk on the radio the other day about someone who was hiding from their hurt in some way, and I think I'm doing that in, like, daydreams and things.
Okay.
And
Elizabeth?
Basically, yeah.
Where you can hear the music. If you have a quick question before we go to break, we'll get right back to you after the break.
My question is, what do I start with to try to work through all this? What do I do?
Great question. And we will get to your question. We'll think about it during the break. And we're glad you called. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We went to the break, and Elizabeth asked a great question. Where do I start in this journey of healing? Alice or Jill, who wants to start and offer some help to Elizabeth?
Well, Elizabeth, I think it is a journey of healing, and we don't do it all at once. And going through, first of all, it was an abusive relationship. And you're right. As you let go and go through the legal process, which is difficult in and of itself, and then the...
Well, I finished that part.
Okay, right. And that stops, but then the next journey begins. Like, it's not all over the day you divorce. It's all of the aftermath then and the repercussions of the impact of what happened. And so it is important for you to do something. I think that divorce care is a good way to be with other people who are going through the same process and to have some identification, to know that you're not all alone, as well as kind of hearing how other people have gotten through the process. And I know divorce care, it's usually minimal cost in getting involved in that. Obviously, therapy is always a good thing. I know that's not always feasible for some people, especially in the aftermath of a divorce.
I've done it when I can afford it.
Right. So, you know, Elizabeth, when I went through my divorce, one of the things I did is I knew that I couldn't go it alone. And so I looked to three people that I felt were like my closest friends. And they weren't necessarily the closest friends with each other. And I drew them together, and I asked them if they would meet with me once a week for the sole purpose of supporting me and giving me a place to vent about what I was going through and to work through it. And so we met faithfully, and they prayed for me, and they were the people that I could call in the middle of the night. And that group, we are such a close group now. The focus did not stay solely on me. We shifted, and other people got to share their issues as well. But it really held me. It really held me through a really, really difficult time. And it was free of charge. It was just our time. And God will often bring people in to walk different journeys with us. Sometimes it's not always the people you think, because it's just not the best timing for them. So that is something that I offer you that can really help you.
I love that. And Jill, I love your vulnerability. You know, Elizabeth, you're probably feeling pretty vulnerable in general after going through an experience like that. But Jill, what you just said is pretty powerful to get your team together and to begin that journey. Alice, what would you like to offer Elizabeth?
Elizabeth, consider reading and working through Healing is a Choice. It gives such specific steps to take that help us to begin to unravel the pain, but also act out God's principles that bolster our emotional strength. And I agree with Jill that especially if finances are tight, group is such a both cost-effective but also therapeutically effective way to go. And in my journey to find a good group, I went to a variety of churches that had small group. And it took a while and trying a lot of different groups for me to find one that fit for me. Mm-hmm. I also tried some Celebrate Recovery groups. I tried Al-Anon groups because substance use has been part of my family's journey and part of the pain that I have been through. And Elizabeth, I didn't quit because a lot of them didn't fit for me, but I just kept trying the next one.
You look for any group that even remotely relates, right?
Exactly.
And you try it. So because you need as many things in your schedule as you need containing at any given time.
And you know, I think the big headline there too is to remind yourself, Elizabeth, that you need this. Because there are going to be days that you don't want to go and that the group is going to be annoying or too far or you're too busy or all those things that we put into excuses to keep us from healing and growing. But that's really an important part of the healing.
We also want you to advocate for yourself, which is probably quite difficult as you went through so much abuse in your marriage. So that doesn't tend to be easy to do. It's quite risky. But you'd be surprised how many clinicians will lower their fee and help you hearing that you're financially struggling. And you've probably heard us say that New Life also offers scholarships. And we have an emotional freedom online workshop coming up. You haven't heard that. Okay, that's something that New Life offers. April 30th, we're having the Emotional Freedom Online, so you don't have to travel to come to it. So call us and ask about, us, stay on the line and ask us about a scholarship.
Elizabeth, I hope something that we've offered has been helpful to you. Do you have any other questions about that?
I guess the only follow-up question I would have is, if I don't really have a lot of friends, because my ex really isolated me a lot, and he kind of got all of our friends in the split.
Elizabeth, like right. So Elizabeth, then I would check out any available groups as we were talking, which I also utilized. And as you go repeatedly over time and pick a few that you really like, you may get to know people and you may be able to say, can we just meet for coffee and talk about things beyond the group? And so I think you're seeing a need to start developing some relationships, because that's what you need when you go through tough times. But the groups will offer that kind of support. It just takes time to then create the friends.
And we can also, we can find you. I know, I hear the tension for you, Elizabeth, and you're so tender in this. And we can help you find, we've got life recovery groups all across the country, too, that we can help you get connected with. But just know that this is hard. This is hard, but it is so necessary, and it's so worth doing.
It is. And sometimes, too, you might check at your church and with a pastor, maybe a pastor of care ministries. Sometimes I have known people to give people a mentor when they're going through a hard time. Some churches offer Stevens ministries. Something like that might be worth your while to hook up with somebody.
Yeah, I think, Elizabeth, we're going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, and just stay on the line and we'll get you connected with a therapist in your area. We got a lot of great therapists in the Dallas area, as well as life recovery groups. You know, if you heard something today on the program that resonates with you, you know, maybe you're dealing with some anxiety or a broken relationship or grief, you know, New Life's got all kinds of resources to help you, and we want to help you move forward. You know, Jill, but when we started the program today, we were talking about grief, and you have always given me such great insight on grief. You haven't given me grief,
thanks for that clarification.
Yes, but last week you were talking about that process of grief, and you were talking about the stages, and I just wonder if you could end the show today with some encouragement for somebody who might be experiencing grief.
Well, I think it's important to know that, again, like I've said earlier, everybody grieves differently, and that we will go through different stages, and they aren't necessarily in any order, but that we're going to have a whole array of feelings, and that we need to allow those feelings to just kind of be and to just recognize them for what they are. If we're angry, if we're sad, if we just feel lost, we need to know that they won't last forever, that it's for a period of time, and that really in the grief process, what you want is that over time, as you allow the feelings to be there, the time stretches out in between where you have the episodes of really deep grief.
That's so helpful. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Alice, for your wisdom. And I hope that you will join us next time. If you need any help, please give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We are there for you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.